You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
How's it going, Broncos country? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast over here at the Locked On NFL Network, your daily bite-sized podcast giving you the best coverage, news, and analysis on all things orange and blue related. Very stoked to be back with you guys once again for another episode of the show. It is hump day. Hope you guys are having that midweek joy there. Obviously, Locked On Broncos, we hope to carry you over the hump. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the NFL. My co-host is Cameron Parker. He's a contributor over there at predominantlyorange.com. You guys can follow him on Twitter at Cameron Parker PO. You can shoot me a follow on Twitter at Locked On Broncos. But as always, we're back. We're better than ever with another episode of the show. Today, we have a lot in store for you. We're going to analyze in segment number one, how close are the Broncos towards competing for the AFC West based on the moves that they've made so far this offseason? We still have the draft coming up, but the culture has changed. We talked about culture in yesterday's episode. Culture leads to a lot of reflection, I would have to say, in terms of analyzing how a team can compete. We're going to analyze some culture stuff there as well and how it ties into the Broncos' moves towards competing in the AFC West against a juggernaut of an offense with the Kansas City Chiefs. They've got some issues going on right there we'll talk about as well. But yes, Broncos country answered the call in segment number one in our daily Broncos thought of the day. And then segment number two, we're going to hear from Jeff Heuerman. He's back. He's better than ever. He's looking forward to an opportunity after re-signing a two-year, $9 million deal with the Denver Broncos, overcoming that rib injury from last year. His hope is to stay healthy and be a reliable target from Joe Flacco. So we hear from him and we're going to give some analysis on some of the things that he had to say as well. And in segment number three, we're heading to Periscope to talk with Broncos country about the latest NFL topics, Broncos topics, and whatever else the community brings up. So very excited about that. That Periscope will be over at Cody Work NFL. Very jam-packed episode of the show for you here today. So let's dive right into it here with segment number one, our Broncos thought of the day. The question was asked, how close are the Broncos in terms of competing for the division? Are the moves that they've made now close enough? Keep in mind, the Broncos revamped their defense to compete against the high-octane Kansas City offense. How has your confidence as a fan shifted into believing that, okay, look, the Broncos, they might actually have a chance this year? It's rough, you know, coming off 5-11, 6-10 seasons, there is a lot of skepticism from a lot of people around the NFL community. I think Broncos fans, we've talked about it in yesterday's show, the level of belief that they now have in the Broncos culture based on the moves, based on the addition of Coach Fangio, has changed their outlook significantly. So we're going to hear from Broncos country here. We're going to start with my man, Jeff Jackson, at TrueJJ32. He says, I think with the addition and what they can do in the draft, the Broncos will be able to hang with anybody they play. The question is, will they be able to make enough plays to pull off the wins? They still need an inside linebacker and a speed wide receiver. And Jeff, I'd say that's a very, very fair point there. You know, there are some needs that the Broncos still have to address. And I know we take a look at the wide receiver core. I do think the Broncos' offense could benefit from a burner wide receiver. You have Emmanuel Sanders, but you also need maybe another guy too that's a complete burner, because we've seen in the past how defenses game plan for Emmanuel Sanders. They play a too high safety look. They'll play cover two press underneath while they'll have a safety up over the top. It's hard for a guy like Emmanuel Sanders to get open like that when he's got physicality underneath and he's got somebody roaming over the top. However, he still makes those big plays. Now, I know there's a lot of question marks. Can he come back after that Achilles injury? There's a lot of concern for that, but yeah, I tell you what, don't gamble against Emmanuel Sanders. He can still be a burner despite having an Achilles injury. I think it's going to take some time, but I think he's going to be very good for the Broncos. And heck, I tell you what, he may earn himself into another contract with the team if he can come back and play this year. But yes, they do need an inside linebacker. The prospect of Devin Bush is growing on me more and more daily. He is a speed guy, very rangy, can cover sideline to sideline. That's all you need. I don't think Devin White will be there. And so it's going to be interesting to see what the Buccaneers do in terms of Darren Lee. You can expect that the Jets will probably trade him before the NFL draft happens. And Tampa Tampa Bay is a likely suitor there. I know the Broncos are potential suitors, but as of right now, there's nothing on the table. They're not taking a look at that option just yet. I would say there are some teams that are a little bit more interested in them than the Broncos are right now, and Tampa Bay is one of those teams. So keep an eye on that. If the Buccaneers select, you know, if they trade for him, then I think that almost could potentially rule out them selecting Devin White. That question is there another team that needs an inside backer? If not, Devin White could be there at number 10 for the Broncos. So it's something we'll keep an eye on. Dan Rules, US, UC says their ceiling this year is third unless Mahomes or Rivers gets hurt. Going into 2020 with improvement on D, they need to be top five. They have a chance. And I appreciate that. I mean, that's coming from a Kansas City Chiefs fan who's very, very civil when interacting with Broncos personalities like myself in Broncos country. And that's one thing I do appreciate about some of the fans is that they can be objective with it and they can do that. Now, here's the thing, though. We have to take a look at Kansas City. Tyreek Hill may not play, and highly unlikely I think he plays in 2019 due to the recent allegations in the report that's come up of some abuse and obviously the, you know, the incident they had several years ago with his girlfriend. But this one's involving his son. So not a lot of information being pumped out about that right now. Benjamin Albright had some good insight on it, and it's not looking good for the Chiefs. So with Patrick Mahomes, he's still very talented. They may look at adding some burners at wide receiver as well. So, you know, anytime you have Patrick Mahomes, who's very, very prolific, you're going to have, I think, a decent running game still. You just had, you know, added Carlos Hyde. But for Phillip Rivers, you know, I still think the Broncos have a chance despite that. Now, look, I think the Chargers have a ton of talent. Keenan Allen, Melvin Gordon, you have, you know, you had Tyrell Williams, but now you got Mike Williams. And the question is, what can they do to add that? You know, I think you're going to have the tight end Hunter Henry come back, coming off that ACL injury. So maybe he's ready for next year. But absolutely. The Chargers still very tough. It's going to be a tough division, and not to mention the Raiders. Derek Carr and Antonio Brown, Tyrell Williams now, and they just added Vontaze Burfict. But the AFC West, they're making a lot of moves there. Now, in terms of the Chiefs, they haven't made a lot of moves that, in my opinion, say, okay, well, they're improving. I'd say they're staying the same while the other teams are moving the needle. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes in 2019. So thank you, Daniel. McMahon says, still have a long ways to go to compete with LA and Kansas City. Patrick Coyote says, we're very close. It will depend on who they pick up in the draft. Steven Curtis says, I think they are close. I think that Los Angeles is the most talented team in the division. I think Los Angeles also has the most complete team. Denver can win with the defense, the run game, and deep passing. Kansas City with offense, but Los Angeles has to be the favorites going into the season, but Denver is right there with me. And I say based on default, maybe the Chiefs are going into 2019 as the favorites for the division, though the Chargers made a very, very presentable case, even going down there in Kansas City and winning. That's one thing that really stood out to me about the Chargers. They do have a very talented team. They are one of the most talented teams in the NFL. It doesn't always look like it. Doesn't always seem like it. But I tell you what, they're definitely very, very dangerous. And if they're fully healthy with Keenan Allen and you have Mike Williams healthy, you have Hunter Henry healthy, Melvin Gordon, Phillip Rivers, I tell you what, it's going to be a very, very tough matchup two times a year for the Broncos and for any other team in the NFL. LA is a very, very good team. Brandon Miller, 41-64, says the entire division is pretty fluid. Kansas City already had a major defensive problems, and they haven't done much to fix it. Oakland has potential on paper, but that means nothing yet. Same thing with Denver. LA seems to be number one, but they usually have major injuries every year. Chef M. Baldwin replied to that tweet saying, minus Tyreek is going to hurt bad. And we kind of went into that a little bit back and forth. Says things about to get worse a lot for Tyreek Hill. Broncos fans will be happy with the results if he doesn't play. And then we got AO350 Legend saying the hiring of the coaching staff and the moves in the defense, I'm very, very confident in their ability to compete in 2019 for the division. New type underscore JK47, Rolls Royce and Phillip Lindsay absolutely need to have monster years to help this team score enough points to win. Defense is not a problem. The O is still very questionable like in the past few years. Certainly, that comes with reasoning. The run game last year for the Broncos was very efficient. You had a very dynamic 1-2 punch with Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay before Royce Freeman had a high ankle sprain. I felt like that really derailed the Broncos' hopes a little bit. We're going to have to keep an eye on the offensive line overall in terms of center. The plan is to move Connor McGovern to center, but you have to worry about developing a right guard, you know, unless, you know, right now it's penciled in as Elijah Wilkinson, a guy who's very versatile enough in that regard, but do we have complete full confidence overall in the offensive line right now? Question. I think Mike Munchak's going to take his blueprint. He's going to apply it, and the offensive line will either sink or they'll swim. But I you know, historically going everywhere with Mike Munchak, I think it's important we make this point, especially when it pertains to the Broncos O-line, which the Broncos O-line didn't play tremendously bad last year compared to how we've seen them play. And I think that kind of gets lost in the mix of how the offensive line has played in the past. They did play pretty well last year. They had a top rushing offense in the NFL, and that was due in part to the offensive line. Phillip Lindsay, very dynamic player, but you have to have an offensive line to get things going as well. The Broncos were very good in the run game. They weren't very good in the pass pro game, so that's got to improve there. And Joe Flacco as a quarterback is a definite upgrade over Case Keenum. So I think that's something that really kind of draws consideration there. So VG Nodal says confidence has improved overall. Still don't think they'll get the division though. LAC, if healthy, can be a legit team. Chiefs are still good, but have gotten weaker on an already bad defense and could take a hit on O with the Tyreek Hill situation. Raiders still stink until proven otherwise. My man Patrick Coyote says, as far as competing as an entire team, I think we need to wait and see how they do in the draft. Post-free agency, I think they've done a great job bringing the defense to a new level. Oakland did a good job of adding talent on offense, and we have matched it with our signings. Timothy Pierce says, Chargers had a bunch of freak injuries last year. Honestly, they could contend for the Super Bowl if they stay relatively healthy. KC has major defensive issues, so I think Denver could compete with them for a wild card spot. Oakland stinks. Dustin Gale says only one man can take Denver's offense to another level, and it's Drew Locke. It's a gif of him, so we'll see what that does as well. I highly doubt that's going to be in play for the Broncos come draft time. Hampa says we almost won tons of games last year with VJ at the helm. We'll be great this year, and I think maybe what he means by that is the Broncos did lose several games by less than seven points or less. So, you know, that could be a swing from 10-6, 6-10. Play how you may. So I'd say that's a pretty fair analysis there. Stoke Chaos, if Elway solidified the O-line, I think we have a shot. KC got worse. Denver's D got better. We have a killer running back unit and good wide receivers. O-line needs to give Flacco time to throw. And Seth Settinger, Kansas City fan, says, anytime you had multiple DBs and have a good pass rush, you can compete and slow teams down. The only thing, in my opinion, keeping Denver from truly competing is the quarterback situation. We're all going to be monitoring how Joe Flacco does. I do think it is an upgrade, though. And then Robert Jewell says, as always, staying healthy is a must for all teams, Denver included. Getting rid of Vance Joseph and his boys ought to add 3 or 4 wins. Good coaching is a must to consistently win in the NFL. I think those are all very good points made by Broncos Country and our Broncos Thought of the Day. We do it every day over there at Cody Rourke NFL. So if you want to get part of the action, very, very good discussion from everybody in the NFL and the Broncos Country community. Coming up here in segment number 2, we're going to hear from Broncos tight end Jeff Heuerman, who re-signed on a 2-year, $9 million deal. He's looking to bring something back to the table for the Broncos. He's got some unfinished business, and we're going to hear from him, and we're going to react coming up in segment number 2. As you all know, the Broncos have brought back tight end Jeff Heuerman on a 2-year, $9 million deal. Now, the Broncos have a lot of hope for him in 2019. He was coming off of a very, very good season. And, you know, this is where I tell people, don't look at the stat box to determine how good a player was for the team. You go back and you watch film, Jeff Heuerman was a very, very underrated blocker for the team. Very, very helpful in setting the edge on stretch plays and toss plays to get Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman out in space. And one of the things I really liked about Jeff Heuerman was he would make plays after the catch. He'd fight for extra yards to pick up a first down on third down, and he brought out the stiff arm quite a bit. But unfortunately for him, his season ended after sustaining fractured ribs, which led to a punctured lung. And Jeff Heuerman calls last season the injury just frustrating. He kind of walked us through, when he met with the media on Tuesday, what happened exactly and what that whole process was like for him.
I took the shot, kind of got the wind knocked out of me. And, it was kind of one of those things, I caught my wind, got back to the, sideline and, just kind of telling myself, you're good. And went back out there for a couple more plays and, I was feeling it at that point. It was frustrating because, it was one of those things that I didn't feel like I should have been done for the year. But when you have a punctured lung, and that pneumothorax type thing, it's one of those, it's hard to get cleared.
If anybody that's listening to this podcast right now has the opportunity, if you're getting into a master's degree program, look at your university and see if you could take a course called The Psychology of an Injured Athlete. I took that in college, and one of the biggest things, too, I think it helps us understand a little bit more because, look, you see it every single year on Twitter in people's mentions. You know, anytime somebody's injured or battling that, they get injured, you have people complaining to them in their mentions, well, you cost me my fantasy football championship this year. It almost dehumanizes the fact that these guys guys are human beings too. And look, you try putting your body on the line every single Sunday for countless years and undergoing some of that, battling all the scar tissue and knees and whatever else that you've had things operated on, and try to go out there and sustain hits from some of the best athletes in the world. I tell you what, a lot of people, this is where I have a lot of respect for athletes. As an athlete who's played the game at a high level, one of my biggest things was you love waking up sore the next morning, but when it comes to injuries, it can absolutely destroy your psyche completely. Mentally, it can have a tremendous impact on you. And you got to think of it from Jeff Hireman's standpoint. I mean, Broncos fans want him to stay healthy, but you know, how do you think he feels? He probably wants to stay healthy too. And one of the things is too, the Broncos, every NFL team, I wouldn't say every NFL team, but the Broncos are really putting a really strong emphasis on stretching and doing the right things in warmups, because a lot of that does prevent injury. Being in the weight room, strengthening your body prevents injury from happening. Now, there's always those freak incidents. And with Jeff Hireman, you know, he took a shot across the middle of the field right in the rib cage. You know, that for a lot of people, that would be demoralizing. That would be debilitating. But the thing with Jeff Hireman, he tried giving it a go. He just couldn't do it. And he did provide the Broncos with a lot of value in 2018. And look, I look forward to seeing what he's going to be able to do in 2019 under Coach Scangarello, Joe Flacco as the quarterback as well. What could that do for the Broncos receiving and tight end core? There's got to be a little bit more consistency there on paper. Definitely, we talk about the upgrade of Joe Flacco as the quarterback over Case Keenum. So Jeff Hireman, the tight end, is going to be very, very important in Rich Scangarello's offensive scheme, because that is the number one thing that they went to last year. I mean, Nick Mullins, George Kittle. George Kittle set a record for the franchise in terms of receiving yards from a tight end. He had almost 230 yards receiving at halftime against the Broncos, so the tight end will be heavily utilized under the scheme. And Jeff Hireman also spoke to the media and gave a little bit of update about how excited he is to work with Joe Flacco and Coach Scangarello.
Every year, you know, you got to come out. That's the thing about this business, is you got to show what you can do every year. And I'm looking forward to working with some of the new guys, Joe, and new offensive coordinator and stuff. And I'm excited. It's gonna be fun.
As I mentioned, if you look at a Kyle Shanahan offense and Rich Scangarello, tight end is going to be heavily involved, and their job is not just going to be catching. That, you know, they have to be able to block, and one thing I really liked about Jeff Hireman is he was a very underrated blocker. And if you go back and watch several games where Royce Freeman or Phillip Lindsay had really, really big games, a lot of that came because you had a tight end that was able to seal the edge and crash the defensive end or that outside linebacker to spring Phillip Lindsay or Royce Freeman free. You know, we saw Royce Freeman have a lot of success in the A, B, and the C gaps. We saw Phillip Lindsay have some success in the B gaps and on the outside edge in stretch plays, counter plays, toss plays. That's the forte. You want to smash on the inside with your power guy. You want to be able to run and bounce it out the outside. So, you know, we saw the Broncos bring in a tight end set almost to help out the tackles as well in certain situations in terms of blocking, especially against some of the pass rushers that they had to go up against in 2018. When you talk about D4, you talk about Melvin Ingram, Joey Bosa, and other guys around the NFL, you know, pass rushers galore. I mean, there's teams that's become such a big need that teams will focus on obtaining that type of guy. And look, the Broncos are going to have a tough task in 2019. They're going to be playing the NFC North. You're going to go against Coach Fangio's former guy for a year in Khalil Mack and the pass rush they have down there. He's a very, very good pass rusher. Von Miller's still the GOAT, according to Broncos country, and I'd say so. He does have Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl ring. Khalil Mack, very, very good talent, though. And the Broncos are going to face a lot of that. You know, you have to be able to protect Joe Flacco, and look, a tight end's got to be able to block in. And here's the thing, though. When Jeff Hireman went out and Matt LaCosta and them came in, they struggled with blocking a little bit. You know, you had Brian Parker, Matt LaCosta, they did struggle in terms of whiffing on some blocks that led to big plays, especially on the end around play. You know, we saw that in several games there. So Jeff Hireman back, I think, will improve the Broncos passing game, give them another option in the passing attack, as well as improve the run blocking on the edge and the outside for guys like Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay. So coming up here in segment number three, our final segment of the show, we're heading to Periscope for a Broncos Country Twitter session over there at Cody Rourke NFL. All right, now we're here for our Broncos Country Periscope Edition episode. We're being joined by many members of the NFL and the Broncos Country community. As always, great interaction on Twitter. I tell you what, Twitter is one of the greatest platforms in terms of interacting, and Periscope's an awesome, awesome feature to include. And we do a segment over here every week on the Locked On Broncos podcast. We're going to take some Broncos-related questions, NFL-related questions on the feed. We're going to talk about them live here on air in our final segment of tonight's show. So NFL Twitter, welcome. My man EP Bronco, always always the first guy here in the chat, so I want to thank him and everybody else for being avid subscribers to what we do here every single week. So let's filter in some NFL Broncos-related questions. Be happy to answer them here on air. A lot of news. Vontaze Burfict signing with the Raiders on a one-year deal. It's almost like the perfect fit, and it'll be very interesting to see what happens with Antonio Brown, Vontaze Burfict in the same locker room. A lot of bad blood there. And I tell you what, the Raiders, they're bringing that appeal back. I mean, if you look at what they're doing on paper, the old school, nasty, gritty Raiders, I mean, it looks evident by some of the signings that they've been doing and adding Vontaze Burfict to that team, to their defense. You know, is he going to make more money? I think Benjamin Albright made a joke about it. I thought it was pretty clever. It was, you know, the Raiders are going to be signing him to a deal less than the amount of fines that he's going to pay in 2019. So pretty clever joke there. If you guys want to check out Benjamin Albright, Ryan Edwards on Orange Blue 760 on Friday. Ben's been filling in this week with Ryan Edwards for the morning show for Tyler Columbus, and James Gomez have been doing a phenomenal job. Great guys down there. Really appreciate their work. But our first question today comes from Jip03. What would you put the percentage at of the Broncos taking Lock? That would be the worst case scenario. Great question. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about this kind of scenario happening based on the Broncos going with Joe Flacco. So right now, here's the deal. Joe Flacco is the main option for the Broncos at quarterback, and if he plays really well and he continues to prove that he can still play in the NFL at the age of 34, John Elway believes he's entering his prime. I think that really sidelines the Broncos' emphasis on getting a quarterback of the future in 2018. Here's my deal. You guys know me. I'm not too sold on the Broncos, on the quarterback class. I don't think the Broncos want to take a guy. I think taking any quarterback in this year's draft at 10 or even a little bit later, still with Drew Lock, I still have questions with Drew Lock. He does have a good arm, but that's the thing, though. What does he have that is convincing that he could be a franchise guy for the next 10 to 15 years? Next year's draft class has a lot. Justin Herbert, but you know, what would the Broncos have to do to be put in position to be able to trade or to move up for a guy like Justin Herbert in 2020? If they do, in fact, play better. That's the biggest question there. So Drew Lock, I think the chances have dropped on that and Drew Lock going to Denver. I think there'll be another team that will pick him up. Wouldn't be surprised. Look, wouldn't be surprised if the Giants take a risk and gamble on Drew Lock. I really do see that. Do you see partners to trade down that allows us to get Devin Bush later than 10? In all honesty, I don't believe Devin Bush will be available past 15. Now, here's the question. I mean, last year, the Broncos, they had a trade in agreement almost in place with the Buffalo Bills to move back, but Bradley Chubb magically fell to the lap with the fifth pick, so they decided not to trade back for the Buffalo Bills, who wanted to get Josh Allen. They ended up getting him, but the Broncos stayed put at 5, and Bradley Chubb fell into their lap. I would be surprised if the Broncos trade back a little bit more, just because at 10, you do have an opportunity to address a major need. Now, look, I don't think Devin White will be there. I think Devin Bush will be a good pickup for the Broncos. I really do. And I've watched film on both Devin White, Devin Bush, both great guys. I would take either of those guys with the 10th pick. But that's one of the things that I just don't know, because, look, I think any NFL franchise, any organization, they don't have an idea yet who they're going to pick in this year's draft. That gets, you know, probably closer to draft time. They really realize, okay, look, this is our board. This is how it's going to play out. They haven't already selected a guy here on March 19th. That's just not how it works out. So Drew Lock, though, I just don't see the chances of that happening. I think it's very slim that they go quarterback with pick number 10, but I do like the idea of Devin Bush being a prospect. He's got great hips. He's got the ability to track sideline to sideline. That's fine with me. And also keep an eye on Tampa Bay possibly trading for Darren Lee of the New York Jets, where I think if they do that, that might take them out of the equation from selecting a guy like Devin White with their pick at 5 in the NFL draft. I think that opens up for the Broncos maybe to get it. But I tell you what, this year's draft is full of defensive talent. We talk about Quinnen Williams. We talk about Ed Oliver. We talk about all these guys, Greedy Williams. Now, the thing with Greedy Williams is he won't tackle. That's a definitely thing that they're not going to go with. Byron Murphy. Let's see here. We also have one from Jared Moultrie. He says, how do you think our sophomores end up playing this year? Do we avoid the sophomore slumps? You know, I think it really depends on scheme and system. He talks about Bradley Chubb, Phillip Lindsay, Cortland Sutton. I think with those guys, they were much more mature as rookies in the NFL than you see a lot of guys. You really do. And with Cortland Sutton, we saw him evolve big time in the preseason. Now, things with Cortland Sutton, look, he's got to be able to improve on his route running ability. He can't be a one-trick pony where you just throw the ball up in the air and he goes and gets it. You want to have that luxury, but you have to improve. You know, one thing with him is breaking on his in routes, his post patterns, dig routes, slants, consistency with his hands. He had several key drops last year for the Broncos. Those are things he's got to improve on, and I think he's going to do that. Now, Deshaun Hamilton, we didn't get much of a sample size in 2018 to see what Deshaun Hamilton could possibly do. I'm very excited about the potential based on some of the catches he's made, but we've got to see a little bit more, and that's nothing against Deshaun Hamilton, who unfortunately, he was injured, and it wasn't his fault why he got injured. It was a bad play. But let's see here. I'm a Giants fan. I think this is entertaining. True, but this draft is filled with defense. Absolutely. And that's one thing I'm excited about. You guys know me. I'm a defensive guy. I love defensive football. It's been a huge forte of mine. That's my favorite side of the ball to analyze and cover over the game, because I love 7-3 games or 7-0 games where the defense holds off. You know, if your offense doesn't score that many points, that's kind of concerning. But if you're in a close game and your defense is dominant, you hold the opposing team to 0 points or 3 points or 6 points or 7 points or even 10 points, I'm a happy guy, because that is defensive football. And defensive football is fun to watch. I think maybe that's just a defensive player in me talking, but I tell you what, I like those games a lot more than I like the 54 to 41 type games, the high scoring games. But yes, very interesting angle there. I'll be eager to see what the Giants do in this year's draft. You know, there's some talk about them possibly not going with Dwayne Haskins. It seems doable, but like I said, don't be surprised if the Giants may go with Drew Lock, or even the Raiders, for example. I mean, you can see totally, this could be a total John Gruden move where either he swoops in and he picks Drew Lock or Daniel Jones. I know he likes Daniel Jones a lot, but there's some skepticism from the NFL community on him. And Dwayne Haskins isn't getting talked about enough. So I'm eager to see where Haskins falls. But right now, from what many people have been saying all over the NFL community, the Giants have no interest right now in Dwayne Haskins. But like I said, look, we're March 20th, not March 19th, and there's still plenty of time before the NFL draft. Like I said, teams do not have an idea who they're drafting right now as of March 19th, March 20th. They just don't. They'll know that a little bit closer to when the NFL draft happens. General managers will be in communication trying to say, okay, hey, where are you going with this pick? Maybe either looking to move up or maybe looking to trade back. It's all about scheming, and that's what NFL GMs do a lot of. So yeah, with that, we talked about in segment number two, Jeff Heuerman coming there, coming back on a 2-year deal, staying healthy. White boy Ross says, if Haskins there at 10, would Denver consider? No interest. Let's see here. We also have some, what are the Broncos going to do with the pick 10? Even the Broncos right now don't know what they're going to do with pick 10. Now, here's the thing. Look, they know that they have to get an inside linebacker. That's one of their biggest needs that they need, a coverage scheme for Coach Fangio, Ed Donatell's style of defense, to be able to roam that middle of the field and get sideline to sideline from hash to hash, be able to sit back in zone coverage, because Coach Fangio's defense is predicated a lot on zone coverage. And if you have a suffocating zone defense, you have to have a good inside linebacker that can cover the middle of the field, where teams like we see the Kansas City Chiefs use a lot of action where they'll run Travis Kelce on stick routes, they'll sit him in the soft spots in the zone, and often at times you have an inside linebacker covering him that just can't cover him, and you have to have a guy with 4-4, 4-5 type speed. Devin Bush, Devin White, those are the type of guys you want to get to be able to stop and neutralize that potential threat there. It's going to be different in the AFC West, though, with Tyreek Hill's situation. We don't know too much about that just yet, what the NFL league office is planning on doing, but that's obviously, we're going to hear something very, very quickly on that. But from inside sources, it's not looking good for the Chiefs. It's not looking good for Tyreek Hill. And they were just looking to give him an extension that would pay him over $95 million to be a wide receiver for them for almost the rest of his career. And they were looking at a $200 million contract extension, possibly in 2 years, with Patrick Mahomes. So really, the Chiefs have invested a lot of money on offense, but really have not improved their defense that much. Now, Breshad Breeland signing with them is a big move. Tyrann Mathieu is a big move, but they still have holes on that defense. They had to figure it out. Let's see here. Broncos need a backup quarterback. Which one out there do you think they should go after? You know, you can look at them possibly going after a day two, day three type guy, maybe as their backup quarterback. It really depends. Kyle Fredrickson, my man, hey, doing amazing work down there at the Denver Post. Hey, thanks for joining, my man. I appreciate that. Look forward to seeing you this summer at Broncos training camp. One of the biggest things, though, too, is that's a question. Right now, the Broncos don't currently have a backup quarterback behind Joe Flacco. You could look at them possibly bringing in a young guy day two, day three. Depends on who's out there. I know a lot of people want to say Will Grier, but I would stay far away from Will Grier as possible. I just don't think that would be a good fit for the NFL. I don't think he's going to have a very good NFL career. I don't think he's going to have much of a career at all as a quarterback in the league. His sample size, it's just concerning to a lot of people. I've spoken to some people in the draft community, and Will Grier is definitely not a guy that they have as a future franchise quarterback written all over him. It's just not the case with him coming out of there from, I believe, West Virginia. So one of the things, too, that you really have to take a look at is if you're investing in, look, if the Broncos want to go quarterback in 2020, we know that John Elway loves Justin Herbert. The number one thing is you have to put yourself in a position to get Justin Herbert, and ideally, if you want him, I think he's going to be the top quarterback in next year's draft alongside Jake Fromm and others if Jake Fromm declares. Wouldn't be surprised if Jake Fromm decides to stay for his senior year. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, but Justin Herbert staying for his senior year this year, that's one of the things that we have to monitor because there was some talk. I mean, I would really believe that if Justin Herbert was coming out for this year's NFL draft, I believe that the Broncos would have done anything to trade up and get him. They could have traded up to two as a potential partner with the San Francisco 49ers, who, you know, John Elway, John Lynch have some good ties together. John Elway's been instrumental in helping John Lynch understand the general manager business a little bit more. And they have that relationship where those trades always seem to work out, and they have that connection there. So we're becoming the Denver 49ers with Rich Scangarello and other factors there. But yeah, very excited about the potential direction for the Broncos in 2019. It says, do you think Broncos line can protect Flacco? I think with the addition of Mike Munchak, I think that can transform the Broncos' line. If you look at Mike Munchak historically as an offensive line coach, he has taken offensive lines that were doing poorly. He's transferred them from bad to good, and I think it all comes back to discipline, fundamentals, which is a big message from Coach Fangio. Coach Fangio, he preaches that. That was his key thing in his opening press conference, is that we're getting back to fundamentals. We got to do things right, because if we cheat, if we don't do things right, then you have that death by inches mentality, and that's not a good thing for any NFL organization. So definitely, I think that the Broncos can protect Joe Flacco. You're going to have Connor McGovern at center. Right now, Elijah Wilkinson penciled in at right guard. At right tackle, you have Juwan James, who's very, very athletic. I think he's more athletic than what the Broncos have had at right tackle. Jared Valdir didn't do bad for the Broncos last year. Would be surprised if they brought him back as a backup. I mean, you can never have enough depth on the O-line, as the Broncos have found out when they lost Ron Leary last year. Ron Leary coming back from an Achilles surgery. Can he be ready to go in 2019? That's going to be a big question for him, especially at that left guard position. If not, look for Sam Jones to get a little bit of developmental run this spring when they return back to practice for, you know, mini camp, OTAs, and then training camp. I don't know if Ron Leary's going to be ready to go just yet. So look for guys like Sam Jones to develop a little bit and stand out. That's one thing I'm really excited for. They could go with a guard later on. I know a lot of people like Dalton Risner out of K-State. He's a nasty guy. He wants to come to the Broncos. He's a guy that, yeah, I've kind of liked his attitude a little bit. He's got a little bit of a mean streak to him. So I think the Broncos will be fine. I think they'll do a lot of different things to maybe make up for some deficiencies on the O-line. I think that Garrett Bowles will improve under discipline and coaching from Mike Munchak. The one thing with Garrett Bowles is he's got to stop giving up that inside right away on his kick step. You'll see it. He'll step out, kind of give that inside in right there, and teams will take that. They'll either take the edge rusher and they'll move him on the outside so he has to open up. They'll bring the middle linebacker on the inside. That opens up a lot of problems for your offensive line and your pass protection. So that's one of the things that they have to get better in is their pass pro. I'm eager to see what Mike Munchak can do with that. But we're going to run out of time here for today's Lockdown Broncos Periscope Edition. Stay tuned. Got some cool news for you guys as well. Tomorrow's episode of the show, we're going to hear from Broncos safety Will Parks joining the show to talk about his offseason training in Texas with Chris Harris Jr., what he's been doing in Philadelphia, and his thoughts on the newest additions to the coaching staff and in the secondary. Will Parks joins the Lockdown Broncos podcast tomorrow for a Keeping It Will with Broncos safety Will Parks. We'll see you then.